We're continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And you can listen and re-listen to all of these messages on our webpage. You can download them on your iTunes. So if you go to the webpage, you can get all of the messages and download them. And one of our members was telling me this week that she was listening to the message from last Sunday. And she said, wow, did her day go fast? Because she just kept listening to it over and over again. Did you know you need to listen to a 60-minute message at least 7 times to grasp all of the different points that are in that message? So I encourage you, listen again. Listen again, and if you've missed some of the sermons, get on there. And if you have a smartphone, you can download our app. River of Life has an app you can put on your phone, and you can just catch the sermon right there, all the upcoming events, everything that's going on. So River of Life Community Church. But anyway, I want to encourage you. If we can have our first slide, please. The Sermon on the Mount is God's formula for revival. The Beatitudes are his recipe for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So you see, God has set us up to connect heaven to earth, and he has set us up for the release of his revival in River of Life and in Elkhart County and in the Michiana area. I believe the presence of God is about to break loose on behalf of the saints of the Most High. Come on, get excited this morning. God set us up. We started studying this at the beginning of June. He just put it in our heart that we needed to study the Beatitudes. And then it just kept going. So we're in chapter 7 now. It's taken us a while to get here, but it's been good teaching. It's been good to look at the Word of God and get it working in our hearts. You know, we can read the Word, we can study the Word, but we've got to get it working in our lives. Amen? Amen. Got to know how to work the Word. And this morning, I'm just amazed to see Janice here, who fell and broke her wrist. And so we're going to extend hands towards her. The doctor has said it. We are believing as the church that these bones are going to line up, they are going to begin to mend, and there will be no surgery. Do we have faith for that, church? All right, well, let's extend our hands. Father, we thank you for the healing power of Jesus Christ to flow through this wrist, flow through her bones in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Your word says that your word is health to our bones. So we release health to her bones according to the word of God. We say, be healed. Can you say, be healed? Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. We want to stand with one another for our healings, right? Stand with one another for our breakthroughs. So this morning, we are on the next scriptures in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, which talks about false prophets. So are you ready to take a look at that this morning? All right. So I'm going to read the passage first, and then we'll break it down. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, say therefore, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So Jesus starts out saying, beware of false prophets. And he goes through a short dissertation there, and then he says, therefore. He's telling us how to know and identify who false prophets are. So let's get started here. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So Jesus was exposing to his disciples a type of deadly spiritual predator. This predator comes in looking like a normal sheep. But underneath, Jesus says he's a predator. He's a ravenous wolf, or she is. It's not just men or just women. He's talking about mankind. He said they appear to be spiritual, but their motive turns out to be greed. And so many times we've heard of preachers that are great orators, but yet they take advantage of people. They take advantage of people to meet their own need. And that's what the Lord's talking about. That's why he said in verses 16 and 18, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So fruit is a Jewish metaphor for both character and conduct. And no matter what a person claims to be, their character will eventually reveal itself. A person knows a tree by its fruit. You know it's an apple tree because it's got apples on it, right? You know it's a pear tree because you see some pears on it. So the type of fruit that we're supposed to have in our lives is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so that is the fruit that we're looking for. Not how great they talk. Not all of the spiritual experiences that they're telling you about. Not necessarily what they're teaching. But what is the fruit of their life? What is the morals of their life? How do they go about their daily affairs? Jesus warned that teachers and prophets are like trees. Examine their conduct and their fruit carefully. And in Bishop's book, How Can These Things Be? I'm going to read a few things from here as we finish talking about this passage. This whole book is written on this passage. Has anyone in here read this? Bishop would say, well, you're not going to make the rapture then. This is an excellent book. How Can These Things Be? So we're going to go on here and then we'll take a look at what Bishop says about some of these passages. In Matthew 7:19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So anyone who claims the name of Jesus but does not bear fruit will be like a worthless tree. Worthless trees, we just cut them down and we burn them. We make bonfires with them. Or we cut them up for wood in the fireplace. Dan Miller, our former member, family, Dina and Dan, they moved to Florida. He posted a picture yesterday of himself sitting by the pool with his legs propped up on a chair. Did some of you folks see that on Facebook? Yeah, and I said, yeah, and we've got a fire in the fireplace at our house. And somebody told him, I think Steve Hugenboom told him, don't rub it in, okay? But it's used for fire. And obviously, when the Lord is comparing a person to a tree, to be cast into the fire would be to be cast into hell, where the fire never stops. So there is a judgment for those who are false prophets and false teachers and those who bring doctrines of devils and demons. And it's rampant in our culture. It's all around us. He's saying, beware of false prophets. It's not just in the church. Tell your neighbor, it's not just in the church. You can get tied up in all of this on the internet. You know, there are a lot of internet ministries now, and I think internet ministries are wonderful for people who can't get out and go to church. But they're not meant to be for people who can get out and go and really know their pastor. To be able to examine the conduct and the morality of the spiritual leaders that are watching over your life. I can't emphasize how important that is. But yet people can present themselves to be anything on Facebook. It looks like a happy world. Everybody, you know, you don't post all the bad stuff. At least if you do, nobody wants to hear it. They only want to know the good stuff. And then people exaggerate. People are people. They want to appear to be something that they're not. And they can do that on Facebook. So what I'm saying is you can get online and you can be a part of an internet church, but you really don't know the people unless you know them personally. From the time we planted the church, Apostle Leonard and I, we've been very careful who comes in to speak to our body. We get lots of letters, lots of phone calls, a very talented people. But if we do not have a relationship with you or with that person or know from a person that we are related to, that they are morally strong and they have good fruit in their life, they are not coming in here messing with my family. That's the bottom line. You wouldn't have just anyone come in and babysit for your children. I'm a little horrified when people start advertising on Facebook, I need a babysitter. I've got to get to work. Anybody available? I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? You are setting yourself up and your children up for trauma. And you see, this happens in the spirit also. Jesus is talking about spiritual predators who want to take advantage of naive and gullible people. And the only reason we would be naive and gullible is because we haven't studied our Bibles. Because when we know the truth, we recognize the counterfeit. You know, when you know what a real dollar bill, $10 bill, $100 bill looks like, feels like, you can recognize a counterfeit. Is that true? Do you think that's true? I remember Vanessa and I ran a pet salon for years, and I remember a customer paying me, and I took the money, and right away I heard the Holy Spirit say counterfeit. Isn't that interesting? It was like this $50 bill in my hand was crying out, counterfeit. So you have to take a look at that bill and see if it's the real deal. And so we gave it back to them and asked them to pay with real money. You know, not the money you printed in the garage this morning. But we've got to know the real to recognize the false. Because Satan, what he does is he lines things up parallel. So close to the truth. And we're going to read a little bit about that in Bishop's book. Matthew 7:20 says, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So Jesus explained that his followers should evaluate teachers' words by examining their lives. You can't just preach the word, you've got to do the word. Just as trees are consistent in the kind of fruit they produce, godly teachers consistently exhibit good behavior and high moral character as they attempt to live out the truths of the scripture. And so we are to beware of false prophets, and we are to judge their fruit. That's okay. Tell your neighbor that's okay. That's what Jesus told us to do. We judge it according to Scripture. Is the fruit of the Spirit operating in their life? Are they honest? Are they people of their word? When one of our leaders commits that they're going to do something, I know they're going to do it. I don't have to babysit them and keep following up on them and asking them, did you get that done? Are you going to do that? I know they're going to do that. How many of you like to work with people that you know they're going to keep their word? You know, people say you're just as good as your word. And if you don't keep your word, then people begin to lose faith in you. So aren't we so thankful that God keeps his word? His word is true. And so we look at people and we can judge them based upon the word of God. Do they pay their bills? And if they don't have money for their bill, are they honest and upfront with the person that they owe money? I don't have money for that. Instead of just avoiding the bill collector. It's kind of like the reality of where you are. You might as well face it. I like Patty's email address. Isn't it faceit123? That just fits Patty's personality. Just face it. 123. But those are things to look at. How do you steward your finances? What does your checkbook or credit card reveal about you? All right, you're all real quiet. There's not a lot of big amens this morning. This stuff that Jesus taught gets right in our business. He gets right into our business. He's not talking about just people who teach his word. He is applying these principles to everyone because everyone here is, the Bible says, you're a living epistle. That's what Paul said. He said, we are living epistles. In other words, your life is like this billboard. Have you seen the billboards, the electronic ones? Flashing that message. That's what our lives are like. People are watching us. You might think no one's watching you. You might think that your life is not impacting anyone, but it is impacting someone. Every one of us are important, and there are people watching us because every one of us has an assignment to bring people to Jesus Christ. Your life has purpose in the kingdom of God. And you are valuable. We're going to read on. It says, not everyone, in Matthew 7, 21 through 24, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now think about that. This scripture has always been of an interest to me from a very young age. It's like, how can that be? People are prophesying. They're seeing miracles. They're casting out demons. And when they get to Jesus on that day, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. So calling him Lord is not enough. The fruit in a person's life reveals who they really are. And to enter the kingdom of heaven, a person must do the will of their heavenly Father. Many people think if they are good people and say religious things, God will have to reward them eternal life. The thing that will matter on Judgment Day is a person's relationship with Jesus Christ. Their acceptance of him as Savior and their obedience to him. Good works cannot get you into heaven. Paying money cannot get you into heaven. And this is what Martin Luther was so upset about, because the Catholic Church kept asking for more and more money from people, from their parishioners, and it was all based upon getting on into heaven. You can't buy your way. Tell your neighbor you can't buy your way to heaven. You cannot buy your way to heaven. It is all based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the main thing. And I want to just share with you a little bit from Bishop's book. This is from chapter 9. And it's on recognizing false and strange doctrines. False teachings are more easily recognized by biblical scholars and ministers. However, the average Christian who is not founded in a balanced understanding of God's word, his ways of doing things, and the type of life that God wants man to live are more susceptible to false teaching and strange ways. Why is this? Because the false and counterfeit has to be much like the real, that only the experts can tell the difference. Characteristics of false doctrine. This can be illustrated by the ingredients in rat poison. When you read the label on a package of rat poison, it reveals that less than 1% is poison. And the more than 99% is tasty, nutritious food for the rat. However, that 1% is enough poison to kill the rat if he eats it for a short period of time. Most of the rat-killing food must be real food and appealing to the rat in order to get him to accept and eat that part. False doctrine must have enough biblical truth to sound biblical in order to entice a Christian to accept the false part. It can be 99% accurate biblical truth, but the 1% false can be enough to kill the spiritual life of the person who believes it and begins to practice it. Now, Bishop doesn't mess around with, he doesn't skirt around calling out what is false and what is true. So if this next part upsets you, take it up with Bishop. As an example, Seventh-day Adventist denomination teaches the same as the evangelical would on being born again, baptized in water, living a sanctified life, second coming of Christ, resurrection of the dead, and an eternal heaven and hell. They were established before the Pentecostal movement in early 1900s, so they do not include the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they add the 1% of teaching that keeping Saturday as the Sabbath day of worship is essential for salvation, and that keeping the Sabbath is God's seal for a person's salvation. After believing and practicing this doctrine for a while, members of this organization start trusting their keeping of the Sabbath as their guarantee of heaven instead of the 99% of fundamental truth. Jesus no longer becomes the central truth and salvation, but keeping of the Sabbath. And you see, the devil will do whatever he can to distract you from the finished work of the cross, to distract you from Jesus Christ, to distract you from having that relationship with him and upon being dependent upon him. They get into works. It's keeping the Sabbath to them that is going to save them. He said, in the first years of my pastoring, in the mid-1950s, I debated with a Seventh-day Adventist minister. We would always come to the crucial point where they would make the seventh day the seal, and I would declare the seal to be the Holy Spirit. The seal of God is like the state seal on a document. It makes it legitimate and guaranteed by the government. It means the approval, authorization, and guarantee of your salvation by the government of heaven. Ephesians 1:14 and 4:30 says, "You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. False teachings can also be, and he goes in and talks about counterfeit money. And he said no one would accept a $13 bill. because they don't make $13 bills, but will accept other bills. There cannot be false Christs unless there is a real Christ. There cannot be false prophets unless there are real prophets who are alive and active in the world. Think about that. And then he goes on and he talks about the 10 M's. Let me share with you a little bit about the 10 M's. We're ordained with Christian International, and we are evaluated on the 10 M's as ministers in the organization. If an M needs to be adjusted, it's adjusted. But these are the 10 M's. Number one is manhood, womanhood, ministry, message, maturity, marriage, methods, manners, money, morality, and motives. Those are the 10 areas that Bishop developed years ago for evaluating the ministers in his organization. And so he's talking about the 10 M's. He says, how many of the 10 M's being out of order does it take to make a person false? How many Christian denomination doctrines have to be false to make them a cult or a non-mainline Christian organization? For the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, it only took one. The 10 M's are like the steel links of a chain. If you were hanging over a 3,000-foot cliff on the end of a chain with 10 links and one link started cracking and breaking, how many links have to break before you plunge to your destruction on the rocks below? It does no good to brag about the time that you are in good shape if one breaks. There are many examples in the Bible that illustrates this truth. And then he goes on and gives several illustrations to illustrate that truth. But Bishop does a lot of teaching in here about this passage. And he shares several different doctrines that have been propagated. And there's a really strange one. I'm going to share this one with you, and then we're going to pray. But it says, there was another strange doctrine being propagated on the internet as recent as 2014. One of my ministers told me about it and pulled it up on his computer. It showed the person who originated the concept and was propagating this teaching. He called it grave sucking. And he had several young people lying on the graves of historic anointed man of God, supposedly soaking up the anointing from the grave. The leader spoke all the language of the charismatic, prophetic, apostolic, and kingdom terminology. And at the end of the presentation, the leader and the people were throwing their arms out toward the camera, implying they were throwing the anointing from the man of God's body in the grave to the viewers. They based their authority for doing grave sucking on the story of the dead man being thrown into the grave of Elisha and coming back alive. The problem of that is there is no record of the man receiving the anointing of Elisha and carrying on his ministry. There is no biblical record or inference that any of the New Testament apostles or saints laid on the grave of Abraham, David, Isaiah, or any of the anointed prophets or patriarchs. Not only are there no examples of such a thing happening, it is not in the spirit, biblical context, or content of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the wild concoctions and imagination of a minister who wants to sound like he has a new sensational revelation that makes him look knowledgeable and special. But it is what Apostle Paul calls strange doctrine. That is to be rejected and avoided. Now, this is good. One meaning of divine wisdom is spiritual common sense. Tell your neighbor, spiritual common sense. (Clears throat) When something is ridiculous and nonsensical, and there are no scriptures even suggesting the practice, and no biblical examples of it being done, then it is strange doctrine. It's okay to judge it and say, that's strange, right? There are some things that the scriptures tell Christians to do and examples of saints practicing it that may look strange and ridiculous to the world. For instance, speaking in tongues. To the natural mind of the world, it may look ridiculous and sound nonsensical. But Christians have scripture showing that Jesus instituted speaking in other tongues on the day of Pentecost, and examples of the apostles praying for people to receive the ability to pray in other tongues. Apostle Paul dedicates 2 chapters to the proper use of tongues and the benefits of praying in a spirit language that the natural mind does not understand. That is one reason I wrote the book, 70 Reasons for Speaking in Tongues, to give understanding of God's many purposes for giving the saints their own spirit language when he birthed the church on the day of Pentecost. Also, praying, believing, and worshiping an unseen God may look and sound strange to the world, but it is not strange doctrine, for it is biblically true and proven, workable by millions of Christians, and it is true doctrine for Christians to believe and practice. And I normally don't read to you, but Bishop says it so well. I just might as well read his words. But this is a really good book. And if they're, the first one up here can have it. I'll give it to you. Sorry, Brian Peacha. Woohoo! There are more in the bookstore, Cindy said. It is a good book, and maybe Brian will read it and pass it on. But it is an excellent book, because how can these things be? Yeah. Depart from me. It just got to wrap your mind around what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Depart from me. I never knew you. You know, he is more interested in having a relationship with us than he is in the ministry that you do. He is more interested in building our inner man and strengthening us and transforming us to be more like Jesus, to be more like him, than he is in your calling and your ministry. We can get so hung up in I'm called to do this and I'm called to do that, that we miss the everyday preparation and spending time with God that's needed when you get there. I had many, many words that I would be an international speaker. As a matter of fact, I had a word that said, go get your passport. God's calling you to the nations. It's like, awesome. I went and got my passport. 10 years later, it had expired, and I was never asked to the nations once. Because I was in preparation. And after I got to the nations, I was so thankful for all of the preparation time, because you don't prepare when you're out on the field ministering. It's either you got it or you don't. And that's just the way it flies when you get to another country. And the Lord does enable you. He does give you a download that you need as you minister. But there is a process that we go through. Everyone is in process. Every one of us. For establishing the kingdom of God wherever we are. Like I shared last week, we're all ministers of the gospel. Wherever God has placed you, that is your pulpit. Those are the people that you influence. Those are the people that God has set you next to. You're working by them. You're in contact with them for God's divine purpose. And so God wants us to get with him, so that we can let the fruit of the Spirit flow from us. So that people know we are who we say we are. You know, don't say God loves you and then 10 minutes later tell them off. God wants us to draw closer to him. And that's what Jesus was saying. You know, if you get in the Word, you get close to God, you're connected to the body of Christ. So important to be connected, especially in these last days. God said, do not neglect the gathering of the saints together. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Because he knew there were things coming that would try to pull us away from having relationships. You know, and with the internet and social media, I think it's great to stay connected, but you can see how it can easily become your world and how it can easily become the way you connect with people. And then honestly, when you get with that person, it's awkward. Has anyone met up with someone that they've talked to on the internet, like an old friend or something, and then it's just kind of awkward? We say all kinds of stuff on, you know, to them on Facebook and communicate with them. And I found that with our nieces and nephews that live far away, we sit down to talk and it's just like, oh, you know, it's the short span because I really don't know them. I only know what they put on the internet. There's something different about being face to face. Would you agree? There's something different about being face to face. And that's what God wants with us. He wants us to spend time with him. Don't just read the Bible. Spend time with him. Listen. If you're praying, listen to what God is saying back to you. We're going to get ready to close. I do have, maybe I can just post this somewhere. There was a list that was put out by Charisma. Does anybody read Charisma magazine? Do you read the articles from Charisma? Bishop Hammond ordained the chief editor of Charisma magazine this October down at the conference. They have some really good stuff that really benefits us. But it's called Four Shocking Ways Evil Spirits Deceive and How to Avoid Them. And I'll try and get this out on our website so you can download it and read it. It's very, very good. Gives you four good points to follow. So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this teaching today. Thank you, God, that we desire truth above all things. And we desire you because you are truth. So Lord, I pray for a deeper relationship with you for every person that is sitting here today, for every person that is connected to our church, God. We pray and we ask for a deeper relationship with you. Lord, that we will know the truth. We will recognize the false. And we will not be deceived. In Jesus' name, amen.